Welcome everybody to the latest episode of Flogger Presents. I have with me a special guest again for you tonight, and it is Rahim Mustafa. Some people know him as Sugarbox Studios. Rahim is an interesting person that's worked in the composite industry. Now I hope you'll enjoy this one, where we find out a little bit about Rahim, and we talk about wrestling. We talk about composite work, what the relevance of Shredsville is, about Marmite, and who the next James Bond is. Maybe he has an insight for us. Find out by listening to the podcast. Your videos everywhere, everything's about sort of fitness, and but I would say there's been a lot about your cosplay stuff as well.
Yeah. So that's basically what I want to move into. Okay. It's funny because I've sort of like told people that I don't really want to be known as like a cosplay photographer, because I think there's like not that there's anything wrong with cosplay. And cosplay is massive. It's just that I think maybe there's a bit of a perception that people think that it's kind of something that the kids do or whatever. You know, it's not like some sort of, even though there is some really good, amazing photography out there. So what I'm trying to basically think is that I want to venture more into just costume based photography, but it's not like cosplay as in, you know, comic book characters necessarily, or, you know, superheroes from film and TV shows and all that kind of stuff. It's just, I basically want to, if I'm doing a shoot, I want to shoot on location. If I can, and my clients are wearing costumes so they can play a particular character, but it's not specifically the kind of like cosplay as cosplay is known.
Okay. So it's maybe fashion / something of that era. So give us an example of what you'd have them wearing, for instance, then.
Well, like I said before, I was like, you know, a fitness and physique photographer. It's not like I'm saying I won't do any more photo shoots with people who are, you know, in shape. It's just basically I won't do a photo shoot in a gym anymore, you know, for personal trainers and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, one of my latest costume cosplay. One of my latest costume shoots was actually with a personal trainer, and she's also a female bodybuilder. So, you know, she was still in shape. She could still show off her physique because of the costume that we chose, you know, because, you know, it was kind of like a female warrior style costume, you know. So it was all made of furs and different things, and a robe and what have you. And then I got like, I know somebody who could provide me with prop weapons, you know, they're real weapons, but obviously they'd be made safe, you know, so swords and shields and everything, just to add to the whole look, you know.
I've seen them pictures, because I've seen another one where you've done like a character who looks like someone out of 300.
Oh yes, the Spartan.
Yeah, like the Spartan gladiator. Oh, that was fabulous, mate. Yeah, fabulous image.
Yeah, that was a really good. That's one of my favorite shoots, only because, I mean, like I said, I like shooting on location, and that one actually we did several different looks for that client. I actually stayed there overnight, and we did. He went to sort of, what you call it, like fashion physique shots, which we did against a wall in his apartment, because it was like, you know, they had a bit of just a plain background, so it looked like a nice sort of fashion shoot. But then we also, because he had the Spartan costume, which he had custom made and things, we did a shoot in a field for the, you know, the 300 or the gladiator style, you know, the long grass kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then in the lead up to the shoot, I said, because he lives in Bath, this particular guy, I said, it'd be great to do a photo shoot and incorporate some of the architecture. You know, I know he was dressed as a Spartan, and Bath has Roman history. But, you know, at least it kind of looks a bit more the part than it does around Cardiff, you know? So, so I went there, and I said, it'd be great if we could do a shoot at the Roman baths that they have. And I said, do you know anyone, you know, do you have any contacts? Is anybody who can, you know, get you near the place or something like that? You know, so a couple of days later, he rang me and said, mate, I booked it. So, you know, for the shoot, he booked the actual venue, because you can book it for weddings and what have you. So, we had the whole place to ourselves for a couple of hours in the morning before they opened to the public. And so you had to work fast, you know. So we had 2 hours from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. And then you had to get out, you know. So one light setup, and so I did a mixture of ambient light and speed light work. And yeah, they came out really well, and he really looked good, you know, as well, because
he did, yeah.
You know, not only was he in good shape, but he played the part quite well, you know, so it all came together in the end. It was great.
So these are most of the guys and girls you have athletes, bodybuilders, actors, or a mixture, or?
Yeah, I mean, it could be anyone really, but it's just that because I've built up my sort of reputation kind of stuff in the fitness world, a lot of the people still know me from the fitness world. So they're sort of the majority of the people that will get in touch with me. But I will say that recently it's been fairly quiet, because ever since I announced that I was like retiring from fitness, I think people thought I was retiring from photography.
Oh,
you know?
Okay.
Yeah, so basically what I need to do is, I think I need to do another video or an update, say, hey, guys, girls, I'm still here, you know. It's just I'm not going to do a shoot in a gym, that's all, you know. And I just want to do more epic kind of stuff with the costumes and locations and what have you, you know. So, and because I'm also busy with work, that the day job gets in the way and stuff, so I've physically not been able to take on many shoots, you know, so work's just been keeping me busy as is, you know.
Okay.
Because I'm not a full-time photographer, you know. I don't do the photography for a living. It's kind of a bit of extra income on weekends and evenings type thing, you know, so.
Yeah, because one of the things, obviously, I listened to that podcast with the website you did, and it's obviously clear that you're an editor.
Yes.
So you do video, is that correct?
Yeah, so basically my day job is I'm a professional freelance TV editor, basically. So I make TV shows. So, you know, it's a full-time job. And because I am self-employed, freelance, so you do get, with any self-employed job, you get peaks and troughs, you know, where you're working for a long period and then other times you've got time off. Right. The difficulty with not knowing when you're going to not be working is, how do you schedule photo shoots? Do you know what I mean? So, because I never know. Sometimes it can be just like, oh, we don't need you tomorrow. And it's as quickly as that. And I was like, well, I've got tomorrow off. Great. But I can't organize a photo shoot, you know? So, generally, if I'm doing a photo shoot, I will always try to make it on the weekend, because I'm never booked to work in TV on weekends. So, you know, that's how I'll try to structure and stuff. Plus, again, with the income, you know, it's just like having a full-time job. It's very difficult to give up the day job and replace it with photography, you know, just to take that step over to the other side. It's going to be very difficult to do, you know, to give up a well-paying job. If you're only ever doing photo shoots every now and then, you know, I have to be doing it all the time. And that's just very difficult.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've both got lots of friends that have made the change over, haven't we? And, you just see them working such long hours all the time. And
I mean, I totally get it. I mean, you know, people, they don't want to turn down the work. As a photographer, you know, you'll take on pretty much, a lot of people will just take whatever gig they're given. And so also it's always the issue of like, how do I price my work? You know, because people don't know, should they go with what the average is in the area, what other people in the industry are kind of charging around in their sort of field? Because, you know, if one guy, I don't know, like a wedding photographer thinks, right, the going rate for a wedding is, I don't know, I'm picking a number now, £1,000 to be a wedding. And if that's what everybody else is in the area is charging, then if that photographer just suddenly wants to charge £2,000, you know, their work may be good enough and they may be entitled to charge £2,000. It's just they're going to be up against their competition, isn't it? You know, because everybody will know, well, I can go to, you know, Joe Blogs down the road and get it for £1,000. So it's very difficult to, you know, earn a living. It can be difficult to earn a living wage, and not just a living wage, but I mean like a comfortable living wage. Do you know what I mean? Unless you're very well established and you've really got your pricing sort of sorted out and you stick to it, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Because I think that a lot of people just do weddings, but then I think over the years they learn the business side where you can make money on extra shoots, your wedding books, extra photos. And I think those sort of people can charge even more for a wedding anyway.
Well,
I don't know how to do it, But for instance, I have a friend. I don't know what she actually charged for a wedding, but I know it won't be £800 or £1,000. I think it's more. Right. But then she can sell a nice portrait in a frame for £300-400.
Mm.
Because she's got that reputation. And I think, you know, when do you get to that point?
That's great.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I've got, I know a lot of people in the photography industry, like around the world, you know, so, and I know from your average photographer, you know, who's just sort of making a living, or some people who aren't even making a living from it, who are hobbyists and what have you, great photographers. But I also know full-time professional photographers who are making a very good living from photography, but they may be, you know, fashion photographers, or they do shoots with celebrities, or, you know, they may, like, through, you know, the podcast that I sent you, the other interview, there's people on there who, for instance, because I used to listen to that podcast a lot, is there's a wedding photographer in New York who, I think he's like second or third generation photographer. And so, you know, his name is, everybody knows the family that he's from and what have you.
Okay.
But he bought a studio, I think it's on Fifth Avenue in New York. And it's basically where all the high fashion and the jewelers are and everything, you know. So people who go shopping there have money. And he's decked out his studio and office and what have you as somewhere that you would know as soon as you step in there, you're going to be spending money, because everything looks, it looks like a jeweler's almost, you know. And the money that he charges, from what I remember, he got paid to do a wedding, and he got paid $750,000 to do this wedding. But it wasn't just a 1 day wedding. I think it went over several days. It was like 11 albums and what have you. But his clients are millionaires and billionaires. So, you know, $250,000 to them is not that much, because, you know, that just happens. I mean, that guy is obviously a very, very rare kind of photographer, you know, to have that. Yeah. And a client, you know, but it's just one of those things, you know. And people may look at his work and go, it's not even that special, if you know what I mean. Like, I've seen better work done by lesser known photographers. It's just it's marketing, you know. It's marketing, positioning, and confidence, and loads of different things that come into it, you know. But it's just, I think, as photographers, sometimes we don't want to deal with the money side of things. You know, we just want to take photos, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, we don't really want to worry about the business side of stuff so much. And that's why I think there's a lot of great photographers who are just, you know, essentially, they're not earning a living from it. I won't say that they're amateurs, because that sounds bad. They're still professional photographers in the sense that they're professional in their work and what they deliver.
Yeah.
It's just that, you know, they're not full-time photographers. That's the only difference, I think, you know.
Where is that line with amateur and professional?
Well, it was something I started up a couple of years ago. I started up a Facebook group, if you don't mind me giving it a cheap plug now.
No, go for it,
It's basically, the group is called the Weekend Warriors Photography Group. So it's about photographers, basically. Anyone's really welcome to join as a photographer, but it's kind of sort of aimed at those people who have a day job and do photography on the side, you know, because that's essentially what I am. I'm a weekend warrior kind of stuff, but not that it's like a derogatory term that you think, you know, that you're not a professional photographer if you're not doing it full time. And so I kind of got a little bit offended by the thought of being called not professional simply because I don't do it full time. Because I thought, no, look at my work. I think, okay, I'm pretty happy with the work that I'm delivering. Of course, you know, you can't win them all. But my attitude, the way I treat my clients, the research, the work, everything, I go in it when I do a photo shoot, like, as professional as I can. I still have fun. But I don't mess around. I don't cancel on anybody, and, you know, and all that kind of stuff. I don't mess anyone around, and, you know. So I think I am a professional. My approach is professional. It's just I'm not a full-time photographer. And I think there's loads of us. So I just thought I'd start this group, you know. And so it's a smallish group, and it's quite good because it's just people, you know, every Monday or so I'll say, what do you get up to on the weekend, guys? And then they'll post their shots, you know, and it just goes like that.
Okay, yeah. That sounds nice. I can't imagine how many people there are around the world that are like me. I'm a weekend warrior, or a monthly warrior sometimes. It's just not often enough.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Do you know, it's funny because when I started the group, I was posting on some other groups saying about this term, weekend warrior. And one photographer put it a really good way. He said, like, well, even the Hulk and Superman have a day job. And I was like, wait a minute. You know, Superman works in a newspaper. Spider-Man works for a newspaper. Yeah. They have a day job, but you know, on the weekends they're superheroes. Do you know what I mean? Kind of stuff, or during the week, whatever. You know, just because you have a day job does not make you inferior in your craft. Do you know what I mean? So I was like, yeah, I'm like Superman or Spider-Man. I'm happy with that.
I think you're right. I think it's just a stupid bit of terminology that's just left over into it.
Yeah, snobbery.
Yeah. And I think there's been snobbery in a lot of things for years, but I think photography, there's been a lot of that. I think it's slowly changing. I mean, I've recently only interviewed people in the analog world. No reason. But I do love both worlds. Like, looking at your sort of work, I'm thinking, to me, that's... You've took art to a different level. So you know, you've done your fitness stuff, which is really good portraiture in essence. But then when you're doing something with costumes, and then you're setting a scene, and you know, your colour choices and all this, I think it's just something really unique. I think it's quite amazing what you're doing.
Oh, cheers. I mean,
no.
There are. I mean. There are other guys that and girls that I see their work and I'm like, wow, that's amazing. And I don't, I have an inkling of how they do it, but I'm not as good as that kind of in my own eyes, you know, because I think Photoshop work is better, or I like the way they've lit that and they've mixed the, you know, the tones better than I do, you know, so that you've got, because often if you're doing composite work, whatever, you'll have a stock background. If it's something that you haven't shot, it's off some stock website. You know, I don't know, some sort of amphitheater or somewhere you've never been, some mountainscape. So you have to make the shot that you've then taken of the client match that shot. And I really struggle with that sometimes because I don't know how the stock shot was, how that was shot, you know. I don't know what exact angle they shot it at. So I have to kind of match mine for perspective. And there's loads of different things. And I see some other people, they just nail it, you know, and they do deliver really, really good composites and, you know, digital art and all that kind of stuff. And it's only something that I've kind of like, I've been using Photoshop for years, like since it was through my first job. I was a Photoshop user before I was an editor. And that was back in 2000. So I've been using Photoshop for nearly 19 years now. But not seriously kind of thing. I did it a little bit as a job, but that was kind of like basics. And it was only over the last couple of years where I started to do a bit more with it, you know, as far as my photography and composites and all that kind of stuff goes, you know. So and I learn a lot, and you keep learning, basically.
I don't think you ever stop. I mean, I've never tried composite. I'm hopeless editor. But then I'm veering off in a very different world to you. I'm going into film, so my editing's going to be in a dark room at some point.
All right.
Yeah, I'm going old school, really, really old school. It's just who I've become. It's, you know,
right.
Nature's done this to me. I haven't had any friends around me that's I've seen them shooting film and started doing it. It's just something that's happened. So yeah, I think you saw my... Sorry, go on.
No, you carry on. No, because I was thinking, I don't really know anything about film, you know, dark rooms and all that kind of stuff. Basically. So I would go for it, mate, because I wouldn't have a clue.
Yeah, well, to me, though, it's like me learning Photoshop. I literally opened up GIMP when I started doing photography, and I just closed it and thought, oh, my God. I can't hack this. And then gradually, I've done little bits, but my editing compared to yours is minuscule. I also work in Linux,
That's okay.
so that really sort of like limits my choice of editing and stuff like that.
Yeah, I actually I started a YouTube channel a little while ago called 60 Second Photoshop, and it's just basically it's a complete beginner's YouTube channel basically, because each video, obviously by the title 60 Second Photoshop, is that each video is 60 seconds and that's it. So it's like a very quick simple introduction to a particular tool or feature within Photoshop. Because
That's
I think, like,
awesome.
people, when they open Photoshop, they'll see the layout of all the bits and bobs. They don't know where to start, and they'll be like, "Well, how do I do anything? You know, how do I open a, how do I save it? You know?" So when I had a bit more time on my hands, I was recording a few of these videos, and it's just like, you know, how to use the clone tool. You know, say you wanted to paint an area of the image out, or you want to copy something from one part into another. And the reason I wanted to make it 60 seconds is because I watch so many tutorials, and when I'm on YouTube, I will click on it based on how long the video tutorial duration says it is. So if I see it says half an hour, I'd be like, forget that. I haven't got half an hour to sit and watch this guy teach me how to do a particular trick. If there's another video two down and it's 2 minutes, I'm like, I'll watch that one and I'll know it within 2 minutes. Because often in the half hour videos or these 15-minute videos, they're waffling on about themselves and stuff, about what week they, what their day's been like. I said, like, just get to the point. Just tell me what I'm here to learn, you know? So I thought, if I do a channel, I'll cut straight to the chase. Like I said, it is very basic. It is like the fundamentals of a particular thing, but at least you know what this button does. And, you know, so you go, right. And now, once I've told you kind of briefly what this is, now you can go and have a play. You know, so I've told you, okay, that button does this. Oh, right, okay, that's whatever, the clone tool, and this is the patch healing tool, and oh, that's what it does. And then you just have a play in your own time. But I don't want to keep you on YouTube for ages with a half hour tutorial, you know. So I made them 60 seconds. And I've been doing photography workshops, you know, like at photography clubs. And I had an email off a club I did a lighting show at, and at the time, I mentioned that I do Photoshop, you know, because they knew I did Photoshop, and they said, "Oh, would you come back to teach us how to use Photoshop?" So this email last week was trying to organize me doing like a workshop on how I do my composites. So who knows? That might be another avenue to go into, you know, further down the line, you know, the actual live workshops.
Why not? I mean, if you've got a skill and you know you're good at teaching, then yeah, you've got to do, haven't you?
Yeah, I'm all for that. I think in a lot of industries, there's a lot of people who just protect their knowledge. They don't want to give, because for some reason they think that the person learning is a threat to them. You know, so if I teach this kid how to, you know, use a camera, then, you know, eventually someone's going to book him and not me, you know, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, that may happen, but I'm like, I don't care. Because there's plenty of fish in the sea, you know. There's even if this kid becomes really, really good, they're not, that kid isn't me, you know. He will never have my vision and my imagination.
No.
And the same goes for you. It's and everybody has their own, you know. Everyone's an individual's a beautiful snowflake, you know. As in, we all bring what our own personality to a particular shot. Do you know what I mean? So I'm not threatened by anybody, you know. If I think, or I'm going to reveal too many secrets or how I do something, you know. So I like teaching people, even in my day-to-day job, you know, with my TV editing and stuff like that, you know. So I'm not worried about giving away secrets and all that kind of stuff. So I suppose I'd be a really bad magician, you know. I'd be telling them all the tricks.
Reveal your secret, yeah. I think I'm the same as you. I'm exactly the same at work. I've an apprentice who works with our team, and I just try and give him a little bit every day. I don't believe in experts either. I think there's only things you've learnt, and the things they've learnt, and they haven't learnt much because they're so young. And I think whatever you do, whether it's photography, editing, with your lights, we can all learn off each other. And I've been really privileged. I've learned a lot of my mates in that way. it's also one of the reasons, like, why I blog, podcast, write articles, because I'd like to think someone gets something out of what I do as well, yeah, and learn something. And I think it's a great thing for life, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a good attitude to have, because that's why with my my YouTube channel, where I post all my behind the scenes videos for my photo shoots, I started that off just as a bit of fun, as in I thought, you know, I'm shooting in gyms and I'm doing these shoots with these big bodybuilders, and it's not something that a lot of photographers are seeing, you know, because or not that a lot of people who aren't photographers even are seeing, you know, what goes down in one of these shoots. Because I think, you know, a lot of people know what a wedding photographer kind of does, or, you know, I don't know, fashion photographer, whatever. But it was so niche. So I thought, oh, I'd film it. And then people were like, oh, I really like this video. And then in my first video, I never said anything. As in, I never spoke to, it was just a montage of me in action and the finished photos. I wouldn't interact with the camera. I wouldn't say anything about my lighting setups, or there was no sort of teaching involved. But as I went on, I would incorporate a few things, you know, so that the viewer, if they're a photographer, could go, oh, right, okay, that's why he's positioned the light that way, or, oh, that's his settings, you know. Of course, it's a live shoot, so I can't stop.
Can't do everything.
You know what I mean? I can't remember everything. And I also can't stop and talk to the camera, you know, all the time because it's a paying client and things. But it's funny how many people commented and messaged me and say that they've learned stuff from my videos. And I'm like, really? You know, I mean, I'm not, like I said, I don't really go into that much detail during my shoots because it is a live shoot. But, you know, people do like them because they think, oh, this guy's kind of given a bit of an insight into, you know, how to create these shots. You know, he's not guarded, you know. And I've had it a couple of times, people essentially say to me, when I ask them a question, if I'm stumped and I need an answer fairly quickly, they say, read the manual or figure it out for yourself. And I'm just like, oh, dude, God, you know, I hate people like that. Cause it's just, I'm coming to you for help. Okay, fine. I get your point. But, you know, sometimes it's just like, read the manual. It's just like, I want to know now.
You know, it's
just, have you seen the size of the manual? And then I'd rather watch a YouTube tutorial because the manual doesn't really make sense, you know? So
that's right, yeah.
You know, so I'd like to just help and teach. I think, you know, give and you shall receive. I say, be a go-giver rather than a go-getter. You know, my brother said that. You should be a go-giver. Give. Rather than always wanting stuff back, you know, and then you reap what you sow kind of thing, you know. So that's my attitude.
No, I think that's a good attitude. One of the things I wanted to talk about then was, so obviously you've got this surname, so you're Rahim Mustafa. Where are you from then? Are you actually English, or have you got heritage in Arab state?
Well, basically, my dad was from Bangladesh, so my dad's a Muslim. So I was a Muslim. He's died now, but so it was my dad, and then my mum was from Wales.
Okay. He's from.
So, my name's Rahim Mustafa because my dad chose it, you know, and I just obviously got my dad's surname, but I was born in Swansea. And that's about it. As I lived in Germany for a while, I went to Berlin. I lived in Berlin and I went to school over there for 8 years when I was a kid. And I've been back in Britain since 1994. And that's about it. But actually, just quickly about my name, because I'm now known by my real name in the photography world kind of thing. You know, I've now started using my website is Rahim Mustafa. No, Rahim Photo. But I'm using my name, Rahim, because I was known as Sugarbox Studios. I don't know if saw this, because like basically when I first started out 4 years ago, I basically I thought no one's going to remember my name. Rahim Mustafa is a bit of a hard one to remember. I thought I'll choose something a bit easier to remember, you know. And the way I started out in photography was my father-in-law had a little coffee shop not far from here, like half hour drive away. And in this coffee shop there was a soft play area, and all the mums were in there all day and the kids were playing in the corner. And he had space upstairs, and he said, why don't I offer people, these mums, to do kids' pictures, you know, children's portraits.
Yeah.
Because they love, you know, spending, they love spending money on pictures for their kids. And I said, well, okay, I'll think about it. I'm not actually a photographer. I said, I've got a DSLR, but I use it for video, you know. And my father-in-law said, oh, don't worry, you're a professional, you'll be fine, right? So 2 weeks after he made that initial phone call to me, he's basically took his first booking for me. So he said, yeah, so he was like my agent almost. He basically, he said, right, do you want to do this? I said, I'll think about it. And he took an appointment for me based like 2 weeks from that phone call. And I was like, what are you doing? I'm not a photographer. I don't know anything about photography, really. You know, I'm a trained cameraman, but not a photographer. It's a different thing, you know, because it's a crossover stuff, but it's a different thing. So anyway, I spent then 2 weeks on YouTube learning, you know, how to pose and studio lighting and all that kind of stuff. And then I bought all this cheap kit off eBay thinking I'll do that infinite white studio background stuff. That's, you know what I mean? I actually hate that look, but I thought that's probably the easiest thing. I'll just get a white backdrop, a couple of strobes or whatever, you know, flashes, and then I'll just go for it. And I thought, if I don't charge them much, then they're not going to get annoyed, you know, if I'm doing it cheap, you know. And I did it, and it was like every couple of weekends or whatever, I went down there and I was doing shots for these kids, and I chose Sugarbox Studios because I saw it online somewhere, and I thought, that sounds family friendly. I think it was the name of a sweet shop in America or something, Sugarbox.
All right.
I thought, oh, I'll tag studios on the end because it sounds like a photography thing, you know. And I did, you know, it wasn't like I had a studio. And I stuck with that. Then I had the photography bug and I started shooting everything. I was doing, you know, landscape, abstract and all sorts of stuff. And then, I did a couple of shoots with people who were into their sport. So I did like a golfing shoot on a golf course. And I did a shoot with a mate who rides a bike, you know, and stuff. And I was using my speed lights. And then I thought, well, who else likes having their pictures taken? And then it's the fitness lot. You know, they're always having pictures, you know, like selfies and all that. You know, they love having their own photos and stuff. So I messaged a friend and I said, who goes to the gym? I said, do you know anyone who would be happy to have some photos taken for free, you know, so that I can practice to, you know, do the photography and stuff. So he hooked me up with this bodybuilder. I did this shoot. And it kind of went from there because the great thing with the fitness world is that it's massive on social media.
Yeah.
So on Instagram, particularly, and Facebook and stuff, but more Instagram, it's great. You just tag the person and then you tag the gym or you tag their coach or you tag the clothing that they're wearing. You know, they'll be wearing Nike or Gymshark or whatever branding they've got. And then so many people will see it and you got all these hashtags. And before you know it, these pictures have gone everywhere. You know, so it's a great way of promoting yourself really easily for free just through Instagram. And so, yeah, I did that first shoot. And then somebody said to me, oh, how much you charge for a photo shoot? Some other bodybuilder. And I was like, I don't know. I literally didn't know because I wasn't charging. I didn't know what to charge. And I just plucked a number, which is way too cheap. And I just said, I don't know, £75 for a shoot. So I did this photo shoot with him. I was there for like a good few hours. I delivered loads of pictures, you know, and I just gradually just increased my price as I went along, you know. And then I brought down the number of photos I was delivering because there's no way I can deliver 200 photos in a photo shoot, you know, 200 good photos or something like that. You know, and they don't need that many.
No, of course.
I started sort of refining the package that I was offering, you know. So I bumped my prices up and I brought it down. And then it became more valuable to people because they just thought, you know, it was more quality rather than quantity.
Yeah.
So, and I just, 6 months ago, I stopped doing it, or less than 6 months ago. So I had a 3-year, 4-year run doing the fitness stuff. And it was great. Yeah. But let's see what else happens, basically. And because it's not the day job, I'm not worried about it, you know?
No, that's good. Have you ever had any influences in your photography then? Or is it just that stuff's happened and you've gone from this to that?
I don't particularly follow any one sort of photographer's work, if you know what I mean. My influences is actually feeds and stuff on Instagram. I would just and not even necessarily photography feeds. Like I'm organizing a photo shoot, just a self sort of initiated kind of photo shoot. in January based on some images that I saw on a science fiction feed on Instagram, because there's some amazing science fiction feeds that are just, you know, they're computer generated images or paintings and stuff like that. And
yeah,
it's just like, it could be anything. It could be like the mood of the image, the color, or, you know, there may be just elements within the shot that I like. And I'm like, oh, I really like, you know, the fire texture of the embers that are, you know, the flames here,
yeah,
or the debris that's coming through. So I thought maybe in my next shot, I'll just use the debris look in my next photo. And then, oh, I like the color palette, or, you know, it could be various different things. And it's like with that Spartan shoot, I don't know if you saw, there was one photo where it was a total fantasy picture where there was a giant lion behind the guy.
Okay.
And I'll send you the link to it's basically on Instagram. I saw these fantasy feeds where you have a warrior, like a human warrior, small in the image, and a giant animal, like either facing this animal or it's behind him, like a giant bear or something, you know. And it looks amazing. And I thought, I want to try that. So we did this shot on the streets of Bath, you know, had some funny looks because people were like, what's that guy doing over there? First time the Spartan and stuff. And then I just composited it into like an amphitheater, and I put this lion in behind it and all these different effects and stuff. And so I think I take my inspiration from those different things, movies, you know, stuff. It's not necessarily photography. It's just, it could be anything really.
So that's probably because you're seeing things are little bits of a picture or an image. I think that's because you're a composite photographer. I think you've got that skill where you can see that little bit and think, oh, I can use that.
Yeah, that is definitely what I do, because again, with our Spartan one, there's one particular shot where he's just stood in a field and he's holding the helmet under his arm, and there's swords sticking out the floor. There's like, you know, embers, and it's dark, moody clouds and stuff. And again, it was just through the mood of another shot that I saw somewhere else. And I thought, oh, I just like those flames, those little bits of, you know, it suggests the end of battle, you know, and it's like the flames are just dying and the embers are burning and all that kind of stuff. And then I put all the blood on him afterwards in Photoshop. None of that's makeup. And it's just, you know, those took me ages, you know. Perhaps I think one thing, because like I said earlier, we as photographers, we just want to create. And so we're not worried so much about the money. A lot of us aren't. And perhaps I spend too much time on an image because for what I'm getting paid, basically, because that was a paid shoot.
Yeah.
But I was delivering him, I don't know how many edited, finished, like composites, full-on composites, that I guess other photographers, if that was like a movie poster for some sort of a promo still for a TV or film production and stuff like that, that whoever made that would get paid a lot of money, you know. And I was happy to essentially give it away because I was like, I just want to make you happy. You know, I think this is a great job here and I think you will like it. So do you like it? And they're like, yes, we love it. And I'm just like, right, that's 35 pence, please. You know, that's essentially what I'm making off of. But so I suppose I'm shooting myself in the foot doing that too many times. So I just basically, going forward anyway, people have asked me for these kind of shoots. And I said, I will charge more. I give them less photos and I charge more because it just takes too long. At the end of the day, it's my time, you know? So
give us an idea then, how much time are you invested in, say, per shot?
Some come together quicker than others. And also there's, and I'm not ashamed to admit this or whatever, I use Photoshop plugins as well. Pre-bought actions. There's some great actions that you can buy, you know, on various websites and stuff where it's basically, it's like a plugin for Photoshop and it'll give you a certain look. So you have to start off, you'll paint around the image or the person where you want the effect to apply, and you hit play on Photoshop and Photoshop does the rest. And then it'll create this amazing effect. And then you can then, once it's all done, in your layers palette, you have all the different layers. So you have, you know, colors, effects and whatever. And you can just basically, you can fine tune them and you can just dial them in and stuff like that. So sometimes if I want to just deliver a photo quickly, because I think this plugin, and often they do a better job than I will do quicker. It's kind of like the difference between using a microwave and a cooker. You know, if you just want to eat a warm meal, you can chuck it in the microwave and have it within 4 minutes, or you can sit there and wait 45 minutes you know, and you're still eating. I know it might taste slightly different on whatever, but you know what I mean? So that's why that's how I view these Photoshop actions. And at the end of the day, the client doesn't care how long you spent on it, as long as they look good in the picture. Do you know what I mean? So if I say to them, oh, this actually only took 5 minutes, they may actually be amazed. They'd be like, what? Look how good it looks in 5 minutes. You know, and so it could be anything from that using Photoshop actions. Or if I'm doing a full-on composite, it could take a few hours, you know. It won't take me all day. But what I've found in the past is that I often don't know when to stop. As well, because I'm always like, oh, I'll just do this little bit, and I just want to add that. And sometimes I've screwed up images by going too far. I should have stopped a couple of hours earlier because it looked really good. So sometimes I will save and make backups as I'm going along, and I'll just revert back to version 10 rather than version 17 or whatever I'm on, you know. So it depends. Each some shots come together quickly and others don't, you know. So but it is it can be time consuming, basically.
Okay.
But the client doesn't see that, do they?
No. Well, I suppose that's part of your job in essence, isn't it? Since they're not interested, they want that end product.
Nope, I know. Especially like the day of the shoot, they'll want it sometimes. Or you know, if you do the shoot in the morning, they'll be messaging, "Well, the photo's ready and stuff." Like, no.
You're gonna have to. Well, I think they need reminding that they didn't get their muscles overnight either.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, that's it.
No shortcut for that.
Nope. I know.
Not legally, anyway.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah. What's it like going from video in the day to, say, stills at night and the weekend then? Can you just switch on and off?
Yeah. Do you know what? If I'd love to give up the day job to become a full-time photographer. And I know some people who say, well, just do it. You can do it, et cetera, et cetera. But, you know, got a mortgage, got two cars, et cetera, et cetera. You can't just do that kind of stuff, especially, you know, whatever. So, but the reason why I like photography so much is that when I'm editing a TV show or anything basically I'm working to somebody else's vision. So, you know, I get exec notes. And I'll produce something that I think is good, and I show it to somebody else, and they don't like it, and they're like, "Can you change this and can you change that?" And you know, or if I'm doing a formatted TV show where it's like, you know, like The X Factor is the same thing every episode, or The Apprentice, do you know what I mean? It's like the same formatted show. I just go, I'm basically the button monkey. There's no creativity from my behalf. Certain shows, other ones there is. You know, it is definitely more of a creative process, but. It is always me working somebody else's vision, the director's vision, the producer's vision and stuff. Whereas with photography, it's me and the client. Of course, I still have to satisfy the client, but I'm not editing by committee. I'm not answering to 10 different people. You know what I mean? It's just between me and the client. And the reason why I'm working with the client in the first place is that they like my work. So they've come to me for the stuff that I deliver. You know, to them, I'm not just a guy with a camera. Do you know what I mean? They see my other work. They know I can deliver and I can do stuff that they think looks, you know, that they like. Then I like that because it's me then. You know, I can do whatever I want to do. It's that more of a creative outlet. And I think that's what probably a lot of photographers feel. You know, it's their vision. We can all look at the same landscape, but then if you have 10 photographers in a row and say, right, okay, they've done these experiments, you know, where you just like, right, see what you can get out of this. And there's how many ways can you skin a cat, you know? So they will all bring something different to it. Somebody might use a different lens, or they'll wait for a better time of the day, or, you know, different angle, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I mean? So we can all just bring our own thing to it.
What advice would you give to newcomers then?
Hustle is that's a bit of an American term. Basically, network. And get out there and show people what you can do. Like when I started, I wouldn't shut up. You know, I was basically constantly telling people that I'm a photographer. I would look for opportunities. And even, you know, this whole thing where people say you shouldn't work for free, which I agree with in principle. I actually did a YouTube video on the subject that You know, if somebody comes to you and says, "Hey, I've got a party, can you come take some pictures?" Or somebody comes to you and says, "I've got a wedding, do you mind taking some pictures? It'd be great exposure for you," and all that. That's not the kind of stuff that I say you should work for free on. I say work for free if A, you can see yourself benefiting from it, like you can see further down the line it could lead to some more work because the people that it's going to sit in front of, etc. Or yeah, that's kind of like the one of the main ones. It's just that if you can see that you're going to benefit from it, then do it. And also, one of the other thing I said was in that video was that you, if people don't know you're there, then people don't know you're there, if you know what I mean. So a lot of, I was saying, even if you're a professional photographer, if you've got a studio and you've got staff members, you should still work for free. And I say in inverted commas, by the, in the sense that you should organize your own photo shoots and show people what you can do, because you may be a professional photographer that only does baby portraits or only does family portraits in the studio. You may even hate that job now because that's all you ever do.
Yeah.
But you know, I'm actually pretty good, right? So if you know that you're good and you want to be creative, then go out and do these different kind of shoots and then blog the hell out of them. You know, share them all on social media and all the different Facebook groups you can, and show people, because that's how, you know, don't sit on your hands waiting for work to fall into your lap. It ain't going to happen, or it's unlikely to happen. And I know people who are studio owners, professional photographers, got staff members. I know people who are doing, like, I know this one particular photographer. She's a celebrity photographer in Australia, and she does photo shoots. She's done shoots with, like, you know, like Bon Jovi, Kylie, and all that kind of stuff. People who come to Australia on tour, she'll get hooked up through her agencies to do these photo shoots with these big celebs, and she gets paid $10,000 a day or more, whatever, to do these shoots. But she still does her own organized photo shoots that she's not getting paid for, because it's something different. She can try a different lighting technique. There's less pressure. It's not a paying client, etc. Still deliver amazing work, and then her name gets out there. In fact, a mate of mine who... he's Finland's top portrait photographer. Basically, just quickly, he's one of the top photographers in his country who happened to move into Cardiff for a year.
Yeah.
And he lived not far away from me. And he basically, like I said, he's the guy who's got a studio, he's award-winning and all that. And he was doing these free photo shoots. And what he does, because he's got really good connections, he goes to like a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Takes photos of all these cosplayers and then edits them really well. And then before you know it, it's getting featured on like Petapixel, Board Panda, all these big photography blogs around the world. And his name goes with it. And then everyone's like, this is amazing work. They don't care that he didn't get paid for it. They just look at the quality of the work. And so when his name is constantly at the forefront, if you have your name at the forefront of people's minds, then that helps your business, because he then does these workshops and charges like £200 a head for people to go and do these workshops, because he's established his brand, his name, through his reputation and constantly putting out this good content that people see his work, you know. And that's, I think that's definitely a good avenue. So if you're a newbie, I say just get out there and shoot. Do as much as you can, basically.
Yeah.
Because that's what I did.
No, no, that's cool. What's the best part of the job?
Making the client happy, as in delivering the pictures, basically. I've never had an unhappy client. And what I like to do is when I'm shooting, I often, before I start editing the pictures, or rather the photo shoot's finished. And then I say, what I want to do, I want to get home, I want to edit one or two pictures, and I want to get them out today. So that it's kind of like hot off the press. And then also keeps people, all your mates, you would tag and share the heck out of this and just say, here's a sneak peek of the photo shoot and can't wait to see the rest, you know, that sort of stuff. And all their friends were like, oh my word, it looks amazing. This looks great. You know, so A, that's good for your personal Facebook business page or your website or whatever, because you've got this good interaction going on. But then what I say to the client, I said, do you want to wait till the end once I've edited all the pictures and have them in one go? Or do you want me to give them to you as I go along, you know, drip feed them to you. And generally everybody wants them as I go along. They don't want to wait. You know, they just want to get as I do each shot. So basically and it can take me, you know, a couple of weeks sometimes to deliver the whole set, you know, finish it. But that's 2 weeks of them basically getting a little Christmas present all the time. You know, they're like, oh, that's amazing. There's something else arrived in my inbox kind of stuff. And they're like, yes, latest photo and stuff. And then they've got, because they are all on social media, they've got, they want to share the content, you know, and then they will put it on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, blah, 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 the rest of it stuff. So I just like making people happy in that sense, you know, and that's why I chose portrait photography, because, you know, as much as you could take a nice picture of a flower, the flower never thinks, dude, you made me look great. You know, a tree will never appreciate that you've made them look good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Whereas I think I just like the feedback that you get from somebody if they're happy with the work that you've done, you know, so that, I think that's the best.
Okay. That's cool. What were some of your favorite sessions then?
Favorite sessions? Well, the I think it's the ones where I get to go somewhere different and do something different, you know. Maybe that's one of the reasons, like I said, I gave up the gym shoots, because although they've been great, you know, I'm not complaining about, you know, any of that kind of stuff, or like, oh, I didn't like shooting at the gym and all that kind of stuff. It's just that it all kind of looks, it can start to look the same, you know, doing a physique shoot in a gym. Especially if people say, can I get a shot on my back doing a pull-up? Like, how many different ways can you do that shot? You can, but, you know, it's like, it gets a bit repetitive. So what I like doing is go and shoot on a location. So it was definitely the Roman one in Bath. Sorry, the Spartan one in Bath. Then I also, earlier on, I did a photo shoot on the streets of London with a bodybuilder. We just walked the streets, and it was like March, and it wasn't the best weather. So he had these leggings on, like Spider-Man leggings with shorts on top. So he's had a bit of, people have taken the mick out of him for what he was wearing, but he's like 6 foot, I think he's 6 foot 6 or 6 foot 4, you know, and you know, big guy, and you know, you'll notice him, and he's walking around with his top off. And I said, look, this is a total publicity stunt, total social media thing. You know, both of us did it for the hell of it, because why not? No one's going to stop us. Do you know what I mean? So I had a T-shirt with all my branding on it, because I figured he's going to draw a crowd and people are going to be taking pictures. And if they get me in the shot, then at least they can find out how to see the pictures online.
Oh, very clever,
I mean, they'd be like, oh, I saw a bodybuilder in town today. Who was it? I have no idea. Whereas if they can check the pictures and they see me in it with the branding, it might help. And of course, I filmed all that, and it's one of the most viewed videos on my YouTube channel. And it was just fun for the day, you know, and I met up with another photographer who helped out. And we just shot on the streets of London. And then the following year, because it was so much fun, we did it again. But this time we said, let's go somewhere warmer. So we went to Rome. And again, it was just, but it was, we didn't get as many shots out of it. And I was also beforehand, I was researching about, you know, permission and all that kind of stuff. And because I didn't know what the laws were really in London's bad enough, but I didn't want to get in trouble basically in Rome. And so, you know, we got a few shots and, you know, kind of worked fast and stuff, but you didn't draw as much of a crowd. And that was almost like a deliberate thing. I didn't want to draw attention off the police over there, you know. Although actually we did get one shot. We were by the, what was it called? I can't remember this place. Cause they have police cars by the big monuments, you know, for security. And we were there taking these pictures, and it was early in the morning. There's no one around. And one of the coppers just came over, and he's this big burly fat guy, kind of, you know, big belly kind of guy. And, he actually got into the photos, had a bit of a laugh and things. And, you know, cause he stood next to this bodybuilder, and it was all fine. That was a highlight shoot. And, I'm just trying to think of one of the ones. Oh, I did a local shoot just not far from my house, like 10 minutes, a few months ago, a Jekyll and Hyde themed.
Same.
Shoot, a nighttime thing. And we only did it for like 2 hours. And I knew beforehand I only wanted to get 5 or 6 shots. I wasn't after, you know, a ton of shots. But I just wanted to show off the costume because it looked pretty cool. And we just shot up the road. And it's funny because I walk past there like every day, and I go through there on the way to my lunch break and stuff. And, you know, I've seen it a million times. But every time now since the photo shoot that I go past there, I always think of that photo shoot that I did here and how much fun it was and stuff like that, you know. So, Yeah, it's just weird. It's just, I definitely like a location. Whenever I can do a shoot somewhere different, then I would do it. I don't think I could ever really get stuck in a studio. I'd just get, I'd get bored.
Yeah, probably
Even
very
though
little.
obviously there's benefits, Well, that, yeah, exactly. It's the costs and stuff. Because I know people who own studios, and it is the costs. But and I know obviously, if it's tipping down, then you've got a studio to shoot in. You don't have to worry about the weather. But it's just something about shooting on a location where you can just be creative, And it's just, I'm constantly looking for different locations to shoot at. Like that place where we did the Jekyll and Hyde shoot, on the way just around the corner, there's this great little garage. That's an old battered garage. I was like, I'm gonna come back here, and I know I'm gonna use this little spot because it looks perfect for because there's broken down this rubble and broken steps and stuff, and a staircase that leads nowhere just up to a wall, and it looks perfectly out of a World War II war scene. And I was like, right, I'm gonna get a costume, somebody in like a World War II costume, and just get some shots by here. And and so I'm always just like looking for, right, can I use this, this, and this? And I just remember them, as I'm going around the city. And I think that's what people should do if they're portrait photographers, keep their eyes open for different locations, pubs and restaurants as well, because they're amazing. And if it's not a chain, if it's an independent, then often you could just say, show them your work and stuff. And if you've got the right insurance, you can shoot these awesome locations as well. And it's a free, ready-made location for you.
Yeah, that's good. I tell you what, you might like it up here because where we live, Lincolnshire, we're obviously a lot of history with the RAF.
Oh, yeah.
So there's loads of abandoned places. I've been in two control towers myself.
Oh, is it abandoned?
Yeah, totally abandoned. One of them's now bought. You can't even get on it. But you had to like climb up a few walls to get on the top. But there is one more still available. One of my mates has done like light painting in there.
Oh,
Spinning a few orbs and stuff like that. They're amazing.
yeah. No, that's the thing. I've got a guy I know who basically he's an amazing contact to have. I'm yet to actually go through and organize a shoot. Basically, I did organize a shoot with him, and it fell through at the last moment. I was really annoyed. It wasn't his fault, not my fault. It was the client changed their mind, and I was like, God, really? You're changing your mind like 2 days before the photo shoot? Basically, I had. There's a real medieval castle in Caldecott, which is just by the Severn Bridge kind of thing.
Yeah, right on the
He gave me
border.
access all areas to this castle, so
Wow.
we could have the whole place to ourselves. I have a costume arranged, medieval warrior for a couple, medieval warrior costume. I got the prop weapons from another because I've got all these contacts. We had all these weapons ready to go. Everything was ready to go, and then at the last minute, they're like, yeah, I'm just not feeling it. And I was like, what? We've been talking beforehand on WhatsApp. I was sending you mood board ideas, telling you everything. They're like, I can't wait. This is going to be amazing. I'm really looking forward to it. And at the last minute, they're like, yeah, I think I'd rather have a shoot done in a gym. And that was my very last fitness shoot then. Because A, I'd announced that I was retiring from fitness the day before that they cancelled. I said, I've just said I'm not doing any more. But because they paid, I've said, I bite my lip and I'll just do it. Yeah, and that was the last one. So, and that particular guy who got me Caldecott Castle, he's ex-military, and he said he can get me military armored vehicles, loads of like machine guns and guns that have been made safe, obviously the props now and stuff. And
Wow.
he said I can get you tanks, I can get you a helicopter, I can get you. And I was like, what the hell? That's amazing,
Yeah.
because it's all through his mates that he knows from the army who've still got tanks in a field somewhere, So if and what's good about that is that I can then offer that to my clients because there's no way they would get that. Well, it's unlikely they could get stuff like that, So
Yeah.
how many of these musty dudes want to look like Arnold Schwarzenegger in an action film? You know what I mean?
Oh,
And
yeah.
I said, well, you really want to go to a gym instead of sitting on a tank, And that's why they'll go for that, I love it. And then I'll in
Okay.
Photoshop put in all the explosions and stuff,
So do all your ideas, like you say, just come from things you see on Instagram, or do you see things online? Do you see it elsewhere?
I do spend a lot of time online. Basically, yeah, it's I do I will obviously because I don't watch many TV series because I don't have the time to commit to a whole TV series. So it's generally like a movie or whatever, you know. That might give me an idea for something. But generally, I'm constantly on these fantasy feeds or this like steampunk or cyberpunk or whatever kind of stuff. You should check it out. There's like all this like warriors and monsters and all different kind of genres of things. And I'll just screen grab them as I go along. It's like, there's like Pinterest. People have these Pinterest boards where they just, you know, I used to use Pinterest a lot, but I find it just a bit annoying how to use it. Yeah, so I just, most of it is like I say, I just stick to Instagram most of the time
Okay.
for my
No, that's
inspiration. But
fair.
it's not all photography related, do you know what I mean?
Well, we've come to the part of the show where we get to ask you some random questions.
Go for it.
And go for it. You're so ready for this, aren't
Well,
you?
I just, I'm wondering if I've got anything else to say. So, what are these?
Oh, no. There's always loads to say, Jesus.
Yeah, I've rambled enough.
Right, your first question. Which age bracket do you put yourself in? Is it from these sayings? What are mornings? You make noises when you stand up. Are you calling the cinema the picture house? Or are you calling the children the wee ones?
Oh, can I say neither? I may
Oh, that's
occasionally.
good.
Yeah, no, I definitely don't say the picture house. I may make noises if as I stand up, but that could be because I've been to the gym, so therefore it's muscle ache. That's my excuse. So
Oh, that's good.
yeah, so it's like yeah, I'll, as I'm getting up, then yes, that's probably muscle ache related.
Ah, see,
For
so you're not
now.
too young and you're not past it yet, like me. That's cool.
Now, I can still jump a fence. I'm proud of
Oh, that's good. That comes in handy.
that.
You've been asked to name a new city. What would you call it?
Oh, I thought you were going to give me suggestions then. Oh, a
It could be
new.
anywhere. It doesn't have to be real.
Oh, that is random. Shredsville. Yes,
Shredsville.
Shredsville. Shredsville, right? Because in fact, that's why I actually used to describe some of the guys that I did shoots with when I did my YouTube videos beforehand. I would say, as a little introduction, I would say, this guy is absolutely ripped, you know, and I would say he's definitely living in Shredsville because they say they're shredded, you know, and they describe themselves when they look at their six pack or whatever, this my shreds, you know, they call them shreds. So I thought Shredsville, so then Shredsville, go with that one.
Wow, I like that. Yeah, that's cool. The next James Bond should be a lady. So does that mean Moneypenny should be a man?
No, I don't think so.
Do you think it could be female bows?
Yeah, I mean, actually, did Bond ever have? I think Bond did have an affair with Moneypenny, didn't he?
I think
I
he
don't know.
did
It's just I don't
in
know. For some
one.
reason, Moneypenny to me always, because it has always been a woman. It sounds like a female name, if you know what I mean. So. But that obviously that's rubbish. But and a like Bond sounds.
Exactly, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Yeah. But it's I think that's only because that's what we're used to. You know, who's to say? But no. But I think Moneypenny could be a woman. Wouldn't bother me. They could do what they could do what they did in the latest Ghostbusters film, and they flipped it all around.
Flip it all, yeah.
You know, and but then that's like obvious. It's like oh, we got to get literally the exact everything that was in the 80s version. But like the other way around, you know.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. No, I'm all right with Moneypenny being a woman.
So
Staying a woman.
would Bond though still be masculine sort of role? A female playing it, but would it still be a strong role? Or do you think they'd flip that character?
No, that'd be strong, isn't it? It's a spy. I think that fundamentally that would have to stay the same. It's like Doctor Who, isn't it?
Yeah, but I don't know, because if you watched, there used to be a series called like Spies or something on BBC, and they were just like police people, so they were intelligent, scientific,
Right.
rather than brave and fighting sharks that had lasers and stuff.
That's the 90s Bond. No, I think if I were to go and see a Bond film, that's what I would want
You want the
from my,
action.
yeah, I want Bond to still be fundamentally an ass kicker kind of character, tough, and someone like Ronda Rousey would have to play a kind of thing, somebody who's like kicks butt kind of stuff. But yeah, it's like Doctor Who. It's still, Doctor Who now played by a woman, but it's fundamentally still the Doctor in quirkiness and character.
So it keeps it real. That's cool. People believe in former lives. What do you think you did in a previous life?
I had an answer for this earlier, or something just briefly flashed through my head. But I don't know how true that could be. It was stuntman, but that would mean that probably died doing a stunt. So maybe I wasn't particularly good. So yeah, maybe a stuntman. I don't know why though. It's only because I have a massive interest in stunts these days. So maybe that's like it's what's a leftover, a remnant from my previous life.
You never know sometimes, do you? So is this going to feature in your work then? Is that a clue?
Well, the stunt thing, no, maybe, no, it's funny. Because I really like, maybe not actually. I quite like horror and scary stuff. I also really like wrestling. How terrible is that? I've just admitted this on a podcast. I am a middle-aged man and I like wrestling. And I don't mean the Greco-Roman style wrestling. I mean WWE wrestling, American wrestling and stuff. So my wife thinks it's sad. My wife does not share my interests. So I have nobody to talk to about this. I'm quite lonely. So maybe I was a wrestler in a previous life. Maybe there could be that as well.
Because
By the
that's a
way, it's
stunt man.
yeah, but that's what I mean. It's action related.
Yeah, it
See,
is, yeah.
it's jumping off stuff and whatever, So maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Well, my wife loves WWE, so
Oh, does she? Do
yeah, she
you
loved the Rock and everyone from back in the
know
day and that, and she talks about the people she used to watch, and I'm like,
them?
what?
But does she still like wrestling?
No.
She said she like, see, that's the thing. See, because I got introduced to wrestling when I was a kid, right? Literally, like most people, it was when you were a kid. And my mate that introduced me to wrestling, it was like WrestleMania 9 or something. And it's on WrestleMania 35 or something right now, right? So it's over 20 odd years. And I messaged him a little while ago and I said, dude, do you still watch wrestling? And he was like, no. And I was like, right, okay, fine. So how are the kids? It's like literally, right, I've got like nobody that I know that likes wrestling. And if you admit that you like wrestling, you're like, oh my word, how sad are you? It's like, no, I'm proud of it. I don't care. It's soap opera for men. I don't know. It's like it's just the weirdest entertainment out there and stuff. But yeah, I wouldn't like people to walk in on me whilst I'm watching wrestling sometimes. Because some of the stuff that's on there is very dubious. So hard for me to explain what's going on. They'd be like, what the flip are you watching? But other times it's amazing and that's what keeps me hooked, so I don't care.
That's fair. I thought you like what you like, don't
Exactly. And that's the thing. That's what, actually, you know why I said I don't watch TV series? Because I don't have
Watching
time because I'm
that.
watching wrestling. There's literally, there's man, WWE, right? They have so much, they put out so much content, it's hard to keep up. Like they every week put out 5 hours of television, and you're like, and then they've got, well, yeah, and then they've got more stuff, and then they've got the internet stuff, and you're like, it's a job to keep up, with all this stuff. So I'd rather just watch a movie. I can't watch a series. I've been watching WWE, the series, for the last 22 years. Or something. So, anyway, I'm gonna go and see something about it, probably.
I think you're fine. Your next one. So, it's November the
Sorry,
20.
everybody.
You worry. You've got to be honest, haven't you? And I do think we'll have to slag you off in a few Facebook groups now.
Oh no, fine, do it.
That'd be an interesting one, wouldn't it?
They
So,
probably
one of
would.
my mates really loves WWE. What do you lot think?
Yeah.
I think it will have to be same sort of lines.
Yeah, no, go for it.
Your next question. So it's November 22nd, 1963, and you're at the Dealey Plaza. You hear a gunshot nearby. Was it Lee Harvey Oswald, or was it someone else?
Oh, right. Until then, I was trying to figure out, was it him or not? At the time, I would say if I was one of the people there, I would go, well, yeah, because they just pulled him out of that building and they've arrested him or something. Is that what happened? I can't remember. But at the same time, with conspiracy theories and stuff in hindsight now, people are like, oh no, the noise came from a different direction to from where he was actually shot at and stuff. So I don't know. I don't know what I would have thought. Sorry, that's not a very good answer.
It's all right. Don't worry.
When you said November 1963, did you say? When, you know what I say, my day job is I work in TV. I work on Doctor Who and the behind the scenes for it. So I know that Doctor Who started off in the 60s. So I was thinking this is going to be a Doctor Who related question. I might do better with a Doctor Who related question. Again, my
I'm not.
wife is not interested in Doctor Who.
My wife's not into science fiction, full stop.
Yeah. Let me guess.
And
Medical dramas?
oh God, they're really into
Law
that, yeah.
dramas? There's like a never-ending supply of like American law, crime, and medical dramas. It's like hospitals. Surely hospitals are not that interesting. Like
No.
every time I go to the hospital here, it's like really boring and you can't wait to get home. It's
Yeah,
like they
including the
churn
staff.
out so much stuff and it's like it's not that interesting and it's never that busy. In these American shows, there's like there's explosions, a helicopter's just crashed outside, or the train's just careered straight through the front window. It's like that never happens.
Nah.
Yeah,
You can't beat science fiction. At least it's all real.
exactly. Like wrestling, it's a real sport.
Exactly, yeah.
That's why I don't watch football.
What is the Marmite in the photography field?
Ooh, Marmite, yeah, I reckon it's HDR.
Yeah, I think you're spot on.
Do you reckon?
Yeah,
Because,
there's so many who hate it.
yeah, for as far as, you know what I mean, because I think it was a bit of a thing a few years ago where everybody seemed to be doing HDR and cameras were coming out with, you know, this whole, oh, it does HDR and stuff. And like, it's like, oh, this is a good look. You're like, is it? And then, you know, so. And I think there are people who do it well, and then there's other people, you know, it's very easy to get wrong and overdo. So there are people like, this looks awful. What the frick are you doing? So I think maybe I'd say yes, HDR. Can't think of anything
I think
else.
that's a good answer. I think in street photography, it'd be colour, because
Oh, really?
there's a massive divide between, no, if it's street photography, it's got to be black and white.
Yeah. It's weird though, isn't it? I same thing. I don't do much street photography, but the ones that I did do, even though I went to Camden and it's colour everywhere kind of thing, I shot it all black and white. You know,
Oh,
because it's
God.
just yeah, there's colour everywhere. It's like, you know, but I it, there's some sort of there's something about street photography having to be black and white. You know, and it's just more, I don't know, is more truth in it, more is it more raw or less distracting? You know, it's just something. Or is it just because in our we have this image of the old street photography being always in black and white, you know, because it's the old, obviously it's going to be black and white, whatever. But I don't know. Or photojournalism, it's kind of like newspapers and it's realism, it's black and white, you know. And it's true. I guarantee you, if you looked at a photo, well, maybe not guarantee, but like you can get some really good photos, obviously that are shot on the streets. You're thinking. Light trails, for instance, you can do those in black and white and look good. You know, I mean, like a traffic trail thing. You know, you want them to be in color when you see the red lights and stuff. You know, or
Sunsets.
a streetscape or nighttime of Big Ben and all that kind of stuff. You need the color for that. But when you're documenting day-to-day street life, yeah, black and white. Sorry,
No,
mate. Stole your thunder.
no. It's Confessional Sunday. Tell me one of your photography sins, and the Lord will consider absolving you.
My photography sins. In what sense? Like, you mean like any sort of mistakes I've made on?
Anything, mistakes or something you used to do, and you'd just cringe if you did it now.
Nothing.
There's a list for me. There'd be loads and loads.
No, nothing, because I was really good from the beginning.
Correct answer.
Yes, modesty. Yes, humility.
Yeah, modesty.
A lack of modesty and humility. Yeah, that's my photography scene. I just wasn't very humble with my photography. I cringe. I don't know. Not. I wouldn't necessarily. It was a sin. I never used to shoot raw.
Okay.
But that wasn't necessarily out of choice. It's just because I didn't have a software that could deal with RAW. I would always shoot JPEG. Yeah. That's basically it. Is that a sin? Is that a bad thing? I know photographers still
do now, won't it?
Well, no. I actually have a friend who shoots JPEG.
Hmm.
You know, so yeah, he still shoots JPEG only and not RAW. So yeah.
You shoot whatever, don't you? If you can still get a good result out of it.
Yeah, no, I just shoot. I now shoot JPEG and RAW, but that's kind of like, I mean, that eats up my cards, obviously, data and stuff. But I always edit RAW files and stuff like that because I just think it gives you a bit more, well, a lot more versatility. You can save the image more and stuff like that. But I always have a JPEG as a backup in case something happens with the RAW file. Basically, that's kind of one of the other reasons that I always shoot JPEG and RAW. But
So that's the end of the random questions. So thank you for that.
No problem. That was interesting. And yeah, sorry if that was a bit of a ramble.
No, that's fine. So what I normally do is give my people a chance to tell people about websites or anything they want to plug, you know, for doing workshops or anything. So okay. Over to you, Raheem.
I should ask, do you have like show notes underneath?
Yes, I will. Yeah, I'll put all links in there for you, so don't worry.
I only ask that because I don't know them off the top of my head. But basically, you can find me on the major social media platforms. So that'll be Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. I have a Pinterest account. So either you would have to look for Raheem Mastaffa, or unless Mastaffa with an A, not Mustafa, it's Mastaffa. Or you'll have to look for Sugarbox Studios. And then also I have my YouTube channel, which I'm very sort of proud of, kind of that I really like doing these videos. But even though I've been so busy recently, I've not had much time to put any more content out. But just today, I did have another idea for another video. So anyway, yeah, that's where you can find me. Just look for me on Facebook, Instagram, and yeah, all that. Look in the show notes. It's there.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, exactly. It's what they're there for. But I'll get it over social media as well with all the links. And then finally, I always ask my interviewees, who would they like to see on the show in a future episode? So is there anyone you think would really suit the show? Maybe someone totally different to anyone before, someone you know that would consider it? So we've done wedding people, we've done a few portrait people, we've done quite a lot in the film world, we've done a studio owner, we've done models, we've done a publisher.
Well, there's a couple of digital artists again. There's one guy in particular. I keep pushing him again. He's the one that I said he's Finland's top photographer who moved in around the corner stuff. But I've plugged him on a few podcasts and he's always ended up getting interviewed as well. But I'm happy to recommend him again. Basically, this guy's called Antti Karppinen. So I will send you his details. But
cool, yeah.
He does speak English, so don't worry about it. But because of the work, because his work is just crazy good. It's something different again. You know, he's definitely a photographer. He's not just, you know, some Photoshop guy or whatever, you know. But he is kind of like, he is in, I think he is now an ambassador for Photoshop and other things. He does workshops and what have you. But I'll send you his details and you can check out his work. And actually, I'll send you a link to a couple of other podcasts he's been on and stuff. But I think he's a good one to have if you can get him.
Yes. Well, you never know until you try.
That's the thing. You don't know. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get that whole thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, you never know, because a lot of these guys, they may be higher up kind of stuff now or whatever, but they've worked their way there kind of stuff. They were at a lower position at one point. You know, the photographer I said, who's the Australian photographer who does shoots with Bon Jovi and Kylie and whatever. Mm. At one stage, she was a studio portrait photographer working for somebody else, and she was living in the back of her car, you know, and she was like scrimping buying stuff. You know what I mean? So that's why I really liked her story, because she went from rags to riches type thing, you know, but she's totally, and she's got her own Facebook group and podcasts and all that kind of stuff. And she's, you know, down to earth and approachable, even though we might go, oh no, we're not worthy. You know, you're a big man. Whatever, but try it. You never know. I mean, of course, there are people who will just not give you the time of day, but who cares? Just ask them. You never know. You know, people can easily reply. The worst they can say is no, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's what I'm all about now. I just think, try it. Word a nice email, and
come to think. Sorry to interrupt you. Another guy is John Aldred. He's an editor for DIY Photography magazine and website.
All right.
Stuff. He's a bit of a pal of mine through. Actually, I met him at the. I don't know if you ever go to the photography show in Birmingham.
No, I'm not really into. Because I'm into film stuff. It's like, what am I going to gain by going to a show?
Ah. Wow, here's the thing. See, I've heard people have said, what am I going to gain from going to the show or whatever. But, for instance, obviously these expos are, you know, demonstrations and seminars and just hustle and bustle and a chance to try out the latest kit and stuff. Mm. And whenever I go to them, I love it. It's a highlight of my calendar year, these photography show things. Yeah, it's because I go, because I'm a people person, I go to network, and now I know my friends go, and people that I only ever see on Facebook, you know, I don't see them in the flesh kind of stuff, I see them there. So I met John he also works for Smug Mug. I'm not sure if he still does, but so I met him at the photography show, you know, in 3D and stuff, and then since then we became friends and stuff. And through meeting him there, he's actually published a couple of my things on the DIY photography page and all that. So I think, even if you don't think expos are, you know, you're not going to buy any equipment or whatever, what are you going to learn? I just, especially if you're a newbie, meet people, you know, go out and just get into the whole, find out who's around kind of stuff, you know. It's meeting people. And then, again, like I said, they do have the big seminars, the big names in the industry who do the big talks, but there's plenty of free talks where you get to see really good photographers who are just, they've not hit the big time, you know, whatever, but they're still great guys to know. And people know people. Do you know what I mean? So
it's
definitely worth meeting people, because you just don't know where it can lead, you know. And if you're on their radar, that can only be a good thing.
Yeah, totally.
That's where I like going.
Yeah.
Plus, I treat it as a bit of a weekend away kind of stuff. You know, I'm going to stay in a hotel. So it's quite cool. Yeah, I love the photography. In fact, this year, I'm hoping, because I've been trying to for the last 2 years, to actually do a live demo at the photography show on one of their stalls, you know, because they have all the different, you know, there's a stall that does lighting equipment and they'll do a live demonstration and stuff like that. And there's one particular brand that I know, one of the guys who's an ambassador for their brand, and he does a live demo. And he's trying to put my name forward to his boss to get me to do it, because I said, I'd love to do it. I said, I do lighting workshops. And how about, instead of just having, you know, a pretty model, which is fine, you know. But yeah. I said, I can get you a 6'6" bodybuilder in here. That'll draw a crowd. Do you know what I mean? If you see somebody, you know, built like a brick outhouse or whatever, and I show you how to light it with a 40-pound speed light, because people will be like, oh, if you can do that for £40, that's brilliant. Because not everyone's got the money to spend £900 on a flash, or, you know what I mean? So that's what I want to do. So who knows? Fingers crossed.
That sounds cool. Yeah.
But no, well, give it a go. You should come down. Maybe I could meet you in the flesh as well.
Yeah, it'd be cool. I think that's one of the best things in it, that it'd be a place where I could meet other people, like you say. Yeah,
exactly. That's
especially what I would people. Go. Yeah, well, you spend most of your time online chatting to people, don't you?
No, exactly. I mean, meet them in the flesh.
Yeah. Yeah, I can't wait. I've obviously interviewed 20... I think it's my 30th now.
Right.
30th episode. So, you know, that's how many people I've interviewed so far, and, you know, from all around the world, and the chances of meeting are slim. So it'd be nice to meet them while you can.
Yeah. So therefore, do it.
Yeah.
Love them at the photography show. That's what I'm saying. It's the biggest one in, you know, the one in Birmingham. 3 days,
what
4 days.
What month was it?
It's in March. It's coming up soon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Even if you just go, sometimes I go for 2 days, sometimes that can be quite long now and stuff. So maybe just go for the 1 day or whatever.
Yeah. No, that's cool. Yeah, I'll give that some thought. Because I know a lot of my friends go as well, so.
Yeah. It's a ride. Oh.
Yeah, why not? So all I need to say is thank you so much, Raheem. It's been great having you on. I think we've all learnt something from you.
Well, hopefully. I don't know. This guy can talk.
Everyone can, so don't worry about that. It's nice to get some personality through there, because you see people's work, and we've been chatting on Facebook and that, but when you get people for an hour or two to themselves, it's really good.
Ah, yeah. I like to make it fun if I can.
Yeah, that's what life's about, mate, isn't it?
Exactly.
Right, well, I'm going to go sign off, and thanks a lot, Raheem. It's been an absolute pleasure, and I'll get this up for you as soon as I can.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
All right, you take care, mate.
Yes, pal.
Thank you. Bye.
Well, folks, that's the end of another show. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I enjoyed making it. It's always great to have a guest on with me. Please do share the post and podcast show as much as you can where relevant. If you have time, please do not forget to review this on iTunes. Just hit the review button and give it 5 stars, please. It's always helpful. It's motivation for me to keep the show going, and I want to keep this going for as long as possible. And basically, I'd like to get lots of different and interesting people on here. So that's what I'm trying to do. Thank you again, and see you next time. Bye.